Turn over to Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. So thankful for this week. A wonderful day yesterday. It's wonderful when we come together and celebrate a life. And I thought Brother Steve and Brother Clint did a wonderful job and honoring their father, honoring Miss Frieda. And just thank the Lord for that. And we had a great time at the prison last night. I know the ladies had a wonderful time here for the bridal shower. And you say there was a lot going on. Isn't that a blessing? And praise the Lord for that. And Acts chapter number 4, if you found it, let's stand together. We're going to read the first 7 verses of Acts chapter number 4, and then speak on this subject matter on a changed life. And you'll see what we're looking at here in Acts chapter number 4. The Bible says in verse 1, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander," boy, you got a whole group that's rounding up together, don't they? "And as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked," and look at this, "by what power or by what name have ye done this?" By what power or by what name have ye done this? And we're going to look at what this is in just a moment. Let's have a word of prayer and you can be seated. Father, we sure do love you. Thank you for the scriptures. Lord, thank you for the great privilege to be able to gather together today. And Lord, as we look at a changed life, the results of that today, Lord, I do pray that you would be honored and glorified. Thank you for your love to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. By what power, by what name have you done this? I wrote beside this, and this is not the subject matter of my message, but I did write beside this for my personal study and encouragement and challenge and conviction that is the greatest question that I could ever be asked. If I'm doing something for the Lord, but the greatest answer I could give, that it would not be in the power of the flesh, but it would be in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. This that is speaking of in verse number 7, by what power or by what name have ye done this, it's speaking about a changed life that we will go back and look at in chapter number 3. And as I looked at this man and I looked at this account throughout chapter 3 and chapter 4, the Lord began to just lay out some principles and some application that I've been able to make in my life, and I believe that it would be beneficial to each and every one of us, that this, now it may not be the specific instance of what is performed here, but it may be, and there's no doubt, that it is something great that is done for God, something that is unexplainable to be able to look at. Now let's look back and see what this is. Look at chapter number 3. It's interesting when someone starts getting worked up because you preach Jesus. You know it's not going to be a good conversation if that's how it begins. Now, we're upset that you're preaching Jesus. Automatically, we know we're not going to be heading the same direction on where this conversation is going. But look what took place, chapter number 3. Verse number 1, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now, this man, just to set the context, we read as we go throughout these two chapters that this man was over 40 years old. So he's been lame since his mother's womb, and they carry him up and they lay him at the door in the entryway of the temple for him to be able to ask alms. And so he's out there. I don't know if he had a little tin cup or what he had, but he was asking alms as people was coming in. Who else would be more charitable than the religious crowd? So they've carried him there for 40 years now, as you read throughout this passage of Scripture. And they've laid him there at the beautiful, that's what the Bible calls it, the beautiful gate. Verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, with John said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, how many of you, if you couldn't walk for 40 years, you'd start jumping around, you'd start saying, hey, look what's taking place. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Isn't that a great account of what took place? A life that is changed. 40 years of being carried and laid at the gate of the temple. But at this day, I'm sure his parents got him up. I'm sure he got dressed just like any other day. I'm sure they carried him or wheeled him somehow to get down there to the gate of the temple. And I don't believe in his furthest imagination did he think today was going to be any different. But there were two men of God that were walking into the temple that day. And can I say, as what we just read, this man's life was changed forever. Now I want to share four principles of what I see the results of this changed life as we look down through the context. First of all, I want you to see that there was a miracle performed. It was none other than a miracle. Don't you think that those parents had taken that young man to about every doctor that they could possibly see? I mean, we read about a lady back that tried to get to Jesus, and she had that issue of blood, and it was just for 12 years. We say just for 12 years, but that's a long time to go through a physical ailment that you're dealing with on a daily basis. 12 years worth. Imagine 40 years of no hope whatsoever. Imagine how emotionally drained, physically drained. Imagine how disappointed this man was, probably time after time after time. And now there's two men that are walking into the temple. And I can just imagine, I don't know, this man looking up, Peter and John look down at him. This man's expecting to receive something. Now let me say this, a miracle is performed, but can I say in this man's life, he's going about his regular everyday duties. Can I even say in Peter and John's life, guess what? They're just going through their regular everyday responsibilities. I don't think Peter and John woke up that morning and said, hey, why don't we go down and see if that man can be healed that's down there by the temple. No, they were going, you know why? Because it was prayer meeting time. I won't go and run that rabbit trail. But there sure are some miracles that can take place when you're on the way to prayer meeting. You say, oh no, I can just pray at the house. I'm sure glad Peter and John didn't stay at the house that day about the ninth hour, aren't you? And they're just going about, listen, their regular daily duties, heading up to the temple to pray. Neither party knew that this miracle was getting ready to take place. And this man that's sitting there 40 years old, he looks up at Peter and John. Peter and John look down at them and said, hey, look at me. The man's expecting to receive something, everyday life. And Peter looks down at him. He said, silver and gold have I none, but I do have something better than that. Now listen, we look at that and say, hey, what's better than silver and gold? You get a good dose of Jesus, guess what? You'll know that's better than silver and gold. You say, I'd rather have the silver and gold. Well, you know, like the old George Beverly Shea that's in the presence of God now that said, I'd rather have Jesus. And Peter said, along with John, silver and gold have I none, but I do have someone for you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. And he reached down and he grabbed him and pulled him up. This miracle being performed, you say, how does that even apply to us today? And I've thought over and over how many testimonies of salvation where a life is changed and they woke up in the morning not expecting a miracle to take place, but God was moving their direction. And I'm so thankful we may be going through life, but here's what I did find. We'd love to see miracles taking place. I love watching the good hand of God being able to work upon people's lives. I love watching and seeing God be able to put families back together, to be able to reconcile marriages, to be able to reunite kids and their parents, and to be able to see a soul get saved. I love seeing all of that. But can I say this? This miracle took place with Peter and John just being faithful to what God wanted them to do. You see, a lot of times we don't see the great things happening in our lives by the hand of God because we're not being faithful to the little things that God has for us in our lives. And this man jumps up. Now understand, you say, he ought not to be leaping and jumping around and walking when he comes inside the church house. You lay outside and not be able to walk for 40 years and have someone come by, I believe you'd be jumping around a little bit too. That old religious crowd was saying, what does he think he's doing? Man, they start getting critical. You know why they got critical? It wasn't them that was laying there for 40 years. And we start thinking we're going through life and we're saying, hey, why are they jumping around? Why are they so excited? Why are they so excited about what God's done in their life? I'm just as much saved as they are. Maybe you didn't lay there for 40 years before God saved you. Maybe there'd be a little bit more excitement in what God's done in your heart and life, laying there for 40 years. Now I'm able to walk. Now I'm able to leap. And now I'm praising God. Boy, I wish he'd just be quiet over there. I'm trying to worship. And he's coming into the temple, this reverential place, this place of great respect and high worship. And he is leaping down the aisle. I don't do it in the power of the flesh, okay? I'm not giving you permission to get up and start running around the auditorium and jumping over the chairs and everything. Some just relax, okay? But I'm telling you, there was a miracle performed that changed this man's life. And I'm saying there's times in our lives, guess what? There's been a miracle performed, and we just can't hold it back from telling everybody. And we're just thankful for what God's done. And listen, they didn't start praising, verse number 8, he didn't start praising Peter and John. But the close of the verse says he was walking and leaping and praising God. He knew who sent that miracle by. He knew the difference that had been made. And now what we're reading over in chapter number 4 is you've got this religious crowd. And they start getting upset over a man getting healed. And they start seeing all of this that has taken place. They start getting worked up about it. A message is preached. Listen, Peter starts preaching in verse number 12. We have a miracle that is performed, and then we have a message that's preached. The end of chapter number 3, Peter stands up in the temple and says, let me tell you about this man. Not about the man that got healed, but let me tell you about the one that did the healing. That religious crowd gets all worked up, and so they come to him, they arrest him. They grab Peter and John, and that's what it means by to put them in hold till the next day. They arrested him, threw him in there, and said, we need to be looking at this a little bit closer. They started getting stirred up because they preached Jesus. So they call Peter out, and they ask him this question. By what power, chapter 4, verse 7, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Verse number 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, and he begins right there, ye rulers of the people, and goes down through verse number 12, and a message is preached. You say, what message did he preach? Jesus. Can I say there is absolutely no greater message that can be preached anywhere upon the face of the earth today. Now, all he was doing, now they get upset at it. They don't like the message, but they are the ones that asked the question, didn't they? They're the ones that said, hey, how'd you do that? I'm glad you asked. By Jesus. Now, there's such a desire across our nation today. Such a desire even in our community. We have drug addiction, alcohol addiction. Listen, it is unbelievable what has taken place across our nation. And you say, what's the answer for it? Let's have this program. Let's have that program. Hey, what's the answer to my marriage? What's the answer to my family? By what power? Listen, we got some great marriages represented here at Granite State Baptist Church. How'd they do that? Glad you asked. Can I tell you the answer for it? Jesus. Jesus is the answer. There's no, listen, they ask him, hey, how'd you get this man to be able to step up? And now he's leaping and he's jumping and he's praising God and he's causing a commotion for everybody to be able to see. How'd you do that? Well, let me just tell you, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And he stands up without apology, but with great boldness. Listen, these are the rulers. They could say, off with his head. This is the same one. Listen, I'm so thankful for a message being preached that just a few weeks earlier, he was turned tail and running and denying the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in this passage of Scripture. Down in verse number 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They were fishermen, Brother Josh. Fishermen. But at the end of it, the Bible says here, they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And I thought, what a message to be preached. Listen, it wouldn't be the first time this Peter was called unlearned and ignorant. Well, you just haven't been enlightened to the same point that I've been enlightened to. You're just ignorant in these matters. Can I say this? I'd rather people know that I've been with Jesus than to have every degree hanging on the wall. And I've got degrees too, by the way. But don't worry, they're not on the pulpit. The only thing we've got's the Bible. And I thought, here we have a group, they're so upset over a miracle being performed, and Peter very easily could have started crawfishing and backing up and backpedaling and said, how in the world is that all done? He could have said, well, you know, there's just some power that we were able to have. He could have so exalted himself. But he said, let me tell you about Jesus. And can I say, if you need a miracle taking place in your life and you need a problem taken care of, there's no greater answer than the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I haven't tried him. I've told some. I've walked into prison and I start talking to a man and listen, I had my Bible there and they're like, well, I've tried everything else. I might as well try Jesus. And I found out, hey, you just try Jesus, you'll never have to try anything else. I told them down in Sunday school today, we were talking about salvation. I've never had one person tell me that the day that they got saved was the worst day of their life. Never had it said. It has been said, I sure wish I hadn't waited till I was 60 years old. I sure wish I hadn't waited till I was 85. I wish I'd gotten saved back when I was a kid and had my entire life to be able to live for God. It's a miracle that was performed. There was a message that was preached. Do you know where all this came from? It just came from a changed life. And the Bible tells us, we read this earlier in verse number 4 of chapter 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. You say, I'm not sure all of them got saved. Well, that means the Bible's lying. But because of one changed life, you say, what could one person do? Hey, listen, it made a difference with that lame man that had been there for 40 years and every person walking in and out of that temple doing their religious duty, they knew that man. And now they know that there's something different about that man. And all that man's doing is testifying about God, and God had a preacher man that was there that would be able to stand up and say, hey, I just need to tell you about Jesus for a little while. And about 5,000 of them believed and trusted Christ as their Savior. Let me ask you something before we continue. I wonder what God could do with your changed life. If we wouldn't keep our changed life to ourselves. Now, I'm not talking we go and brag on sin. I'm not saying we tell people on how wicked of a sinner we were, because guess what? Whether you got saved at 5 or you got saved at 50, we were wicked sinners before the Lord. And it was our sin that nailed Christ to the cross. I'm so thankful He chose to do that because He loved us and became sin for us. Every one of us were wicked sinners. But I wonder what difference could be made if we wouldn't keep our changed life to ourselves. And I'm not saying you run around. Listen, they'll lock you up if you go downtown and just start jumping all over the place. They'll say, this guy's gone off his rocker. We need to lock him up, put him in a padded room. But I'm saying, what if we started telling people about how Jesus changed us? And what if we started praising God for who He is and what He's done and the difference He's made? What about telling other couples as you're walking down the street and you see them walking toward you? What about stopping them and saying, boy, can I tell you what God's done for our marriage? You never know what they're going through in their marriage. Well, what made the difference for you? We were over grabbing a sandwich the other day, and I changed up the sandwich the way that it was made. And I told the lady there, I came back and I said, that was wonderful. I said, you try that. I said, it'll change your life. She looked at me. She said, is that what changed your life? I said, oh, no, ma'am. I said, that was Jesus. And you know what she did? She leaned across there. She said, I'm a Christian too. I walked back in there this week. Brother Josh, you were with me. As soon as I walked in, she turned around. She looked. She said, Pastor's here. Yelled it out to the entire restaurant. Man, I had to be on my best behavior while I was standing there. They got my order ready. Pastor, Pastor, Pastor. There's 50 people in the restaurant. And I'm thinking, man, I hope I don't do anything to disgrace the name of Christ while I'm standing here. But I thought she was unashamed. She leaned across. She said, I'm a Christian too. She told it to Brother Josh when we walked in there on Friday. She said, I'm saved. I thought there's no telling what could be done in our community. If yes, a miracle is performed. And listen, if you're sitting here today and you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, guess what? There's been a miracle performed in your heart and life. For God to change your eternal destination, we are either the family of the devil or we're the family of God. And I've received the spirit of adoption. I'm a child of God. I'm a John chapter 1, verse number 12, but as many as receive Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. That's the family that I'm in. A miracle's been performed. And you know what? The message needs to be preached. But then what I saw as we get towards the end of chapter number 4, because listen, Peter gets up and just preaches this little short message. And I'm trying to take notes from Peter. Honestly, I am. He preaches this short message that it's all about Jesus. They rejected Jesus. Jesus is the head of the corner. He tells them in verse 12, there's neither salvation in any other. You say, I'm trying for a changed life. It's not going to happen outside of Jesus. You can try all your religious works. You can try to do as much good as you can possibly do. And outside of Jesus, there is no hope whatsoever. There's none. Because the Bible says in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Can I say it's not even in the name of Peter Chamberlain? It's not in the name of Granite State Baptist Church either. You say, well, we're members of Granite State Baptist Church. We're good, aren't we? It's in the name of Jesus, not in the name of church. Listen, there's millions around this world that are trusting the name of the church. And it's not going to get them passed. Because there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And to make no excuse or exception, verse 10 says that it is that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one who was crucified and that God raised from the dead. So don't confuse Him with any other. He's the only Jesus that was crucified and raised from the dead. But then here's what I see, talking about a changed life. I see by the time we get down to verse number 23, it says, listen, they're letting Him go. Look at verse 22, for the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And He goes down through here with one voice and one accord. After the message is preached, you have a multitude that's praising. A multitude that's praising. Let me ask you something. I know we can come together, and boy, it started a little bit on Thursday night just before we were praying. A verse was read that they were going to praise the Lord in the sanctuary. And they proceeded to praise God for something. You know what that did? That caused someone else to say, well, let me praise God for this. And someone else to praise God for this. And someone else. And I thought, listen, it's wonderful when we come together as a church family. And I love being able to praise the Lord. But what would it do if the multitude walked out of here today and we went in every area of our lives and those that we come in contact with and just started praising the Lord? You say, oh no, I can't do that. Why? You'll talk about a football game. Talk about a baseball game. You know how many people I've showed the striped bass to that I caught? Man, I pull that thing out and say, hey, look at this. And I always tell them, Peter's was bigger than mine. I do tell the correct story. We're praising about the things of this world. What would happen if a multitude gathered together and we were praising God for His goodness and His greatness in our lives? You say, I don't have anything to praise God for. It's been a pretty rough week. Well, let me ask you, if you died today, would you spend eternity with our Savior in heaven? If that's a yes, then we have something to praise God for. You say, Pastor, how can you praise God? You just stood there and had a funeral service of a dear saint of God. No, we didn't have a funeral service. It was a celebration of life. And it wasn't just a celebration of his physical life, but it was a celebration of his eternal life, that he's forever in the presence of our Savior. The multitude praising, but then I saw the mighty praying that took place. Verse number 31 of chapter 4 says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Do you see just the circle that's taken place here? A changed life brings about a message that was preached, brings about the multitudes that are praising, brings about the praying that is taking place. And guess what they do as soon as they get done praying? The Bible says they spake the word of God with boldness. They just turned around and started preaching again and giving the message to those that were around them. Now, hold on. They had just been commanded not to do this. They had just been told, hey, this isn't supposed to be taking place. We're telling you, when you go out, do not be preaching in his name whatsoever again. You ever had someone tell you they don't want to hear it? Now, can I say this? They don't have to hear it from me again. But I can sure be praying after that. And isn't it just something how God may send someone else by? Or I found this out, if they don't hear it from me, I've quoted enough scripture to them, I've given them enough, I've talked to them enough, it's amazing what the Holy Spirit of God can do, that just starts churning in their hearts. All of this goes back. You say, man, what a miracle. All of this taking place. Can I say, now, listen, our church isn't ready for 5,000 to get saved. We'd do something, okay? They're not going to say anything if we just show up at a park on a Sunday morning because we've had 5,000 that are coming in, okay? And God will take care of it from there. You say, man, I'd love to be able to see these things. I'd love to be able to see those souls getting saved. Man, I'd like to be part of a prayer meeting like that. I'd like to be part of a praising meeting like that. Bringing it all the way back. Do you understand? It just started with someone being faithful, going to a prayer meeting, going to do what God wanted them to do. And it was while they were being faithful in their everyday life that God changed another life. And a miracle was performed. You say, boy, I want God to use me to be able to preach to that 5,000. Do you want to get arrested for the opportunity to be able to preach to the 5,000? That's part that I'd like to leave out. Okay, they were arrested. They were just faithful in their everyday life. Can I say we will see God do great things as we're just faithful every day, putting one foot in front of the other, just doing what we know is right. It was the ninth hour, and Peter and John said, it's prayer time. Let's go up. Little did they know, Brother Chamberlain. They're on their way. They're just doing what they know is right. I can give you Jesus. That's all I have. You notice they weren't too busy with their religious duties to be able to stop and present Jesus to someone? And I thought, just being faithful. And what could God do through each and every one of us if we'd just say, God, I'm going to be faithful in the little things that you've given to me. Now listen, I'd love to be able to preach and be able to see 5,000 trust Christ as their Savior. I love it when I see five. I love it when I see one. I love it when I get a text on a Tuesday morning that someone needs to be saved. Praise the Lord. I love seeing all that. And you know what it all boils down to? You say, I love seeing the big things of God take place. The big things are not going to take place if we're not faithful in the little things. And you say, Pastor, I'm being faithful in the little things. And can I say this? God may just choose to use you to see someone else's life changed. I wonder if Peter thought, am I going to be able to get to preach today? He didn't realize that just being faithful in the little things, then God was going to put a crowd in front of him and see 5,000 saved before he ended the day, but then he was going to spend the night in jail. Sometimes we say, oh, I'm not going to be faithful in the little things. I might end up in jail. One changed life. I wonder who it would be that God would say, God, you changed my life. I want to see another life changed. God, I'm going to be faithful in the little things and watch you take care of the big things. I wonder if we would have people coming up to us, coming up to you, coming up to me, saying, hey, by what power are you doing that anyway? Someone asked one time, they said, Peter, what are you doing up there in Concord anyway? And it was another pastor, and I said, Pastor, I have no idea. And all God's people said, amen. You're right, you don't have any clue. So I told him, I said, I don't know. I said, but all God's put in my heart is I said, I need to tell people about Jesus. I need to get up every week and preach the Word of God. And I said, outside of that, I don't know what the answer is. I said, I don't have a book that we're following other than the Bible. And I said, we're just trying to be found faithful, taking care of the little things. We'll let God take care of the rest of it. But I wonder if we'd commit to the Lord today. I want to be that one that maybe God would use as you're being faithful to change someone else's life. But then you may be here and you're looking at someone else's life and you're saying, wish I had what they had. There was about 5,000 that were wishing they had what that one lame man had. And they got it by the end of the day. It's not an accident you walked in church this morning. And I'm so thankful for what God's doing. But you know something? You may be looking for that peace. You may be looking for that joy. You may be looking for that assurance that you'll spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be looking for that and you know you don't have it. The message that's being preached today is it's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. It's not me. It's not the church. It's Jesus. So here's the question. Do you have him today? If not, you can get him. You can accept what he's done for you. He died for every one of your sins, paid for it for all of eternity. But if you do have him today, are you being faithful just in the little things? And who can tell what God would do with that throughout this week? Being found faithful. Hey, it could just be going to prayer meeting. And on the way to prayer meeting, boy, God moved in and made a difference. Multitudes were praising. Multitudes were praying. And then the whole circle started over again. And they started preaching. And great grace was upon them. You know why? One life that was changed. Has God changed your life? Then what difference are we making in others? Would you stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. God is so faithful. How long has it been since you thanked him for just changing your life? I'm not saying you're leaping all over the place and you're jumping down the aisles. I'm just saying God changed your life. Or maybe you're here today and God needs to change your life and you know that. I wonder if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm on my way to heaven. I remember the day God changed my life. And I'm not ashamed to let you know. Would you just slip your hand up? I know that I'm saved. Know that I'm on my way to heaven. God's so faithful. Praise the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand. I'm not sure that if I were to die right now, that I'd spend eternity with Jesus. I'm just not sure. Listen, I'm not looking to embarrass you, but I will say this. Coming to church, it may just be in the everyday habit that you have. This is what we do. It's Sunday morning. We know it's right to be in church. I'm just going through my routine. And Little did you know that God was going to come by your way today. And maybe you'd say, Pastor, I need to be saved today. I'm not sure that heaven's my home. I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? No one's looking around. Would you just slip your hand up, slip it down? Pastor, pray for me. I'm just not sure that I'm saved. And on my way to heaven, would you pray for me? Thank you. I appreciate that, young lady. Would there be another one? Just slip your hand up, slip it down. Pastor, pray for me. Listen, I'm just going through life. But God knows where you're at. And God sent a preacher by today just to be able to preach a message about Jesus. And he changes lives. Would there be another? Pastor, pray for me. Just pray for me. Let me ask you this. Christians. How many of you would say that's the desire of my heart? Boy, I want to be faithful in the small things and watch God take care of the big things through my faithfulness. Would you join me in saying, Pastor, that's my prayer. Boy, I want God to use me in the little things. Would you slip your hand up? It may be just being faithful to prayer meeting. God's so faithful. Here's what I'm going to ask. God spoke to your heart. I wonder if you'd slip out and find your place here at the altar. Christian, spend some time with the Lord. God, help me to be found faithful. Would you step out? Come find your place right now. Christians need to move. Maybe you're here this morning. You know that you're not saved. And you'd like to get that settled today. Can I ask you this? If you'd be willing, I wonder if you'd be willing to step out from where you're at. Let us have a word of prayer with you. Not right here in front of everybody. I want to be able to just step to the side, show you what the Bible says, get this matter of eternal salvation settled today. Would you be willing, as she's playing, would you be willing to step out from where you're at? Would you let us take a Bible, show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? Wouldn't that be great to know today? I'll meet you right down here at the front. Would you come right now? People are moving. God's speaking to hearts. Would you come? I'll meet you down here. God's so faithful. So faithful. One changed life. You say, that's what I need. Then let's get it today. Speaking to hearts, we can pray another verse. There's those that are down here praying. You're not by yourself. Changed life. What if Peter would have said to that man, arise and walk, and that man never would have gotten up? He would have just sat there, healed, but not able to do anything with it. Just want to get it settled today. It's what's needed. So, last verse. Father, we sure do love you. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the effects of one changed life. That all became possible because two Christians were faithful, just going and doing what they knew was right. And Lord, I pray throughout this week that every one of us that are here, Lord, would just be found faithful every day, just following you, just doing what's right, looking for that opportunity to be able to present Jesus. Thank you for your love to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.